Wonderful. Welcome back, everyone. This is Rodney Washington, the Monetize Your Gifts Masterclass host for this year's event, Monetize Your Gifts Live Masterclass. And we just wrapped up a wonderful session with the amazing Barbara Winter, who spoke very in detail about overcoming resistance and how to see where resistance shows up in our lives and how to move past it so that we can move forward in our businesses and create the opportunities for ourselves and for the people that we're here to serve. So starting now at 1 o'clock, we are moving on with the wonderful Ariana Lisa Newcomer. Ariana is an extraordinary woman. She is extremely passionate about the voice, the physical sound of the voice, and how it connects with the people that we're here to serve. Ariana, I have worked with privately now for a little under a year, and the work that she's done is nothing short of extraordinary. So you're in for a really rare treat. I know many of you listening today may not actually realize that the human voice actually has the power to not only connect, but can actually be changed. And Ariana is going to be sharing with us some exercises and some techniques and strategies that we can use immediately to create a voice that serves us, that actually helps us create deep, lasting connection, and, yes, people actually being so bowled over by our wonderful, rich voices that she's going to help us create, want to actually work with us. So first of all, I want to say, Ariana, thank you so much for being with us today and being one of our masterclass presenters.
I'm delighted to be here, Rodney. It's so great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, Ariana has a very rich history, and I think it almost is better to let her tell it because she just has such a rich history with her own path to embracing her gifts and moving on to where she is today, helping people around the world improve their voice. So I'm going to actually let Ariana tell a little bit of her story about what led her to this path and then what we're going to talk about today and how to actually get your voice working for you. So, Ariana, I'll let you take it away.
Okay, great. My story. So how did I get to the place where I am coaching people on how to develop and use their speaking voices? Well, I grew up on the East Coast. I went to Harvard University. I graduated in 1977. And after college, I went to New York City and became a professional modern dancer. And then I went to massage school and got my massage therapy degree in 1984. So I've been a massage therapist all that time. And I moved to California in 1987, and I started studying classical voice after I had married and had two kids. And so with small boys and trying to squeeze in the time and working part-time, making time to practice, I actually created a professional career for myself, singing principal roles in regional opera here in the Monterey Bay, and as a soloist with area symphonies and ensembles. And I just loved it, and I started teaching voice. So I've been teaching voice since 1994, and I thought I had really found the thing that I was meant to do in life. And then I got a voice injury, and it was absolutely devastating. It was one of the most devastating things I've ever gone through in my life, and I had to stop singing. And my journey back to a healthy voice has taken me on an incredible journey. I'm a real alternative medicine gal, and I was also going through a divorce, which is part of the voice story too. And I didn't have money to go the traditional medical route. So I went in all these interesting directions, and the resulting tools that I have now in my toolbox are just extraordinary and unique. And I am delighted to now be bringing them together in the Reclaim Your Authentic Voice program. And my work with speaking voices is now so rewarding. I'm just so excited about doing it. I love doing it. It's so much fun to do. And people are getting these great results, not just with their voices, but their whole lives leaves the full expressive capability of your miraculous voice.
You know, it's amazing. Ariana, you know, I had an opportunity to watch you present recently on stage live and to see the literal transformation that you're able to create for people on the spot is nothing short of extraordinary. And unfortunately, we're not able to, you know, be in a room together physically where we can, you know, share some of that. But I, before I really move into some of those physical exercises that you do, for the entrepreneurs that are listening to this session today with you, you know, many of them may think, well, you know, my voice is just my voice. This is how I sound. I can't do anything about that.
Right.
And I know you have a lot to say about that. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, it is true that most of us don't think about our voices at all. We take them completely for granted, and we just, as you said, think, well, my voice is my voice. There's nothing I can do about that. But think for a minute about how you talk to a baby. Oh, coochie, 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 coo. You know, how you talk to your pets, or how you correct your dog. No, sit. Or how you speak to your loved ones when you're feeling very loving and intimate. You get a wonderful, warm tone in your voice. So you actually already use different voices in different circumstances. And then there's probably another voice that you use at work if you work in a corporate environment or if you work in a service environment. I've run across a lot of people who are therapists who develop the therapy voice, and then they start speaking in that kind of voice all the time, the sort of low-pitched, soothing sound, and it becomes a habit. And that's a very difficult sound to use if you're trying to get on stage and present about something. Mm-hmm. So we all do use different kinds of voices all the time. And if you think about a Shakespearean actor or an opera singer, for instance, they're probably using the full capability of their voice. But we all are capable of training our voices, and with a little bit of training and attention to your voice, you can dramatically boost your expressive capability, which enables you to really engage with and inspire your audiences and to be truly heard and understood. I've had a number of clients tell me that when they were growing up, they were the quiet one in their family, or their sister was really loud and their brother was the performer and they were the quiet one. And I call this a voice story. It's something that carries with you throughout your life and makes you sound the way you sound. And it's an unconscious decision that you made about how to sound. One of my clients was told as a child all the time that girls should be seen and not heard. And she developed this very small voice. And after working with the Reclaim Your Authentic Voice program, she developed what she calls her power voice. And she got a new job. She used her power voice during her interview, so it got her a new job. She started taking the lead at work in ways that she never had before. And she started setting boundaries with her family members in ways she hadn't before. She had kind of been the family doormat. She was caring for an elderly dad, had an adult son still at home, had a brother living with her in between jobs. And so she started saying, you know, this is what I need, this is going to work, and this isn't. So she started writing poetry, she's writing a book, she started drawing. So she had this explosion of creativity in her life, plus getting a new job, and then changing her relationship with her family. And it all came out of changing the way she used her speaking voice.
Mm-hmm. Now, in a moment, Ariana, I want to ask you about some of the ways that the voice and why, again, this information is so important. And one of the reasons why I wanted Ariana to be a part of this opportunity here today for you is because, again, so much of what we feel about ourselves and the way we use our voice and the way we and connect with people, we think, again, our voice is just our voice. But if you think about it, really, if you're a salesperson in a store, for an example, or you're talking to a potential client that may hire you over the phone, or, you know, you're out doing a presentation, even if you've written a book and you're out there doing signings, I mean, these are all instances, every single moment of our day of our working life, where the way we sound is making someone decide, you know what, I really connect with this person. And I want to, invest in whatever it is that they're doing. And I know you have some thoughts about that as well,
right,
in regards to that. So could you share a little bit of that with us, Ariana?
Yeah, and there's also the converse of that, which is if your voice is not really engaging and doesn't make people feel comfortable and doesn't make people feel connected to you, then you can actually lose out on business. People can decide they don't want to work with you because of your voice. And I have heard people talk to me about this. One woman, I remember talking, we were talking about someone we knew in common who is a business coach, and she said, you know, I decided not to work with him because of his voice. And this person had a fairly monotonous voice quality. So when I start to talk with people about voice, then they start to think about it and they say, oh, yeah, there's this person who has this kind of voice or that kind of voice. And one of the qualities that makes people feel uncomfortable is this kind of nasal quality. We call it nasal. It isn't actually nasal, but that's what we think of it as. And there is a certain actress that's made a career out of using this voice. But that's a voice quality you don't want to listen to for long periods of time. It's kind of abrasive. It makes people feel uncomfortable. And then another voice quality that makes people feel uncomfortable is if somebody is just loud all the time and they don't have much modulation in their voice and they sound very bombastic and they're trying to kind of power you over with their voice, well, that's really uncomfortable also. You're sitting there thinking, stop assaulting me with your voice. And some people mentioned to me that they have, this usually is a woman, and they have a friend who talks like a little girl all the time. And she's a grown woman, and it just drives me crazy. I just want to slap her and make her stop.
Oh, my God.
It's very hard to sound serious, and it's very hard to sound convincing or confident, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
So your voice quality affects how effectively you communicate. So when you make people uncomfortable, that is a deterrent to communication. You're kind of setting up a barrier between yourself and other people.
Mm-hmm. You know, and also yeah. That, too, with a point that you brought up, at least with me and my work with you, was that when it comes to actually making your offer, when you're speaking to someone and you actually are asking for the sale, things like your voice tone changing, your voice dropping, that kind of thing. Do you have some thoughts about that as well?
Oh, definitely. I have seen this one lots. And one especially that I remember is I was watching a woman give a presentation on stage at an event, a live coaching event. And she had this wonderful presentation. She was a really engaging personality. She had a great service that she was offering that she was really passionate about. And when she got to her offer, her voice entirely changed. And she went from speaking like a really confident person to putting in a lot of pauses and sounding like a little kid and really sounding like, you know, I'm not convinced that I should be asking for money for this, and I'm not really confident in what I'm doing, and so therefore, how could you have any confidence in me either? So that was really dramatic when that happened, and I know that happens to a lot of us who are coaching, and if we're giving discovery sessions and wanting to enroll a client in working with us, we can get that nervousness that creeps into the voice. And when we train our voices and when we understand how to breathe properly, how the voice works, how to use the voice to engage, how to use different expressive capabilities of the voice, then we're much less likely to fall into that voice change because we know how to use our voice effectively. So that's a really big one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know for many of us, as I say, asking for the money for some of us is a really hard thing. You know, when it comes right down to the sale, and that's where really the major shifts in the voice tone and cadence, as you've shared with me, really happen. So what I'd love to do, because I know we've talked about this, Ariana, is I know you have some very specific exercises that you recommend to help people to even, you know, remember our breathing and so forth, to be able to really move through those physical stuck points that keep us really, you know, keeping our voice tone clear and even, and however it sounds, it's still coming across in a way that is authoritative and clear and people really wanting to say yes to us. So I'd love it if you'd like to share some of those with us and get us moving a little bit here.
Yeah, well, my A number one thing that I recommend, aside from knowing something about your voice and how it works, mm-hmm. is to use deep belly breathing. And this is super important because of two things. Voice is all about airflow. So if you're breathing well and getting nice deep breaths, then you're going to have a nice flow of air to produce your confident voice. And number two, slow deep belly breathing actually calms our nervous system, down. And if any of you are yoga practitioners, you've learned belly breathing because that's kind of the basis of yoga breathing, is breathing into your belly. So if all of you who are listening right now want to stand up, and imagine that you have a big dinosaur tail attached to the end of your spine, your sacrum, and feel the weight of that big dinosaur tail just gently pulling down on your sacrum. And then imagine that you have a whole bunch of helium balloons attached to the top of your head. And that helium balloon bunch is just gently floating your head up toward the ceiling. So the dinosaur tail is pulling down on the base of your spine, and the balloons are just gently floating your head up toward the ceiling. And you should get a nice, long, easy feeling in the spine, and your weight is balanced on your feet. They're about shoulder width apart. And now put one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly, and take a deep breath. Which hand moved most? And I'm going to bet there are quite a number of you out there for whom the chest hand moved more. And that means you're thinking about your breath going up. And what you need to know is that your diaphragm, which is the main muscle of breathing, which is a dome-shaped muscle underneath your lungs and above your abdominal organs, goes down when we inhale. It goes down. And it does it automatically, and that draws air into the lungs. And that's why we can breathe all night when we're asleep and we don't die, because this happens automatically. But we don't realize often that that diaphragm goes down. And when it goes down, it needs to be able to displace the abdominal organs a little bit. So the belly needs to be soft, and it needs to expand when we inhale. So try it again. One hand on your chest, one hand on your belly. See if you can make the belly hand move more. And not by pushing your belly out, but with the breath. Think of the diaphragm going down and feel the belly expand. Now, another reason for doing this belly breathing is that when we breathe high up into the chest, our necks tense up. And guess what's in your neck? Your larynx, where your vocal folds are. So if you're doing those high up into the chest breaths, you're actually inhibiting your larynx from doing what it needs to do. It needs to be able to go up and down in your throat and tip and rock. So when you breathe down into your belly, you think of the breath going down rather than up. Then you let go of that tension in the neck, and your larynx can be free to produce your beautiful voice. And let's actually play and find the larynx, too. Your larynx is where your Adam's apple is if you're a guy, and where it would be if you're a gal. Put your fingertips on that just lightly and swallow. You should feel something moving up and down. That's your larynx. And now let's say hee 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 ho.
Hee 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 ho.
Hee 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 is high, ho ho is low. And you should feel the larynx up higher in your throat for hee 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 and down lower for ho ho ho. So your larynx needs to be able to move around. And tension in your neck, tension in your tongue, tension in your jaw, tension in your abdominal muscles can all inhibit your larynx from doing all the wonderful things that it needs to be able to do. So your deep belly breathing is your very, very good friend for your voice, with relaxed shoulders and neck.
And you know what I love about these exercises is when, and just listening to this as you go back and listen to this for future, you know, for those who are investing in the program, they will be able to use this any time that you're getting ready to go into a sales presentation, or you're getting ready to have a call with someone over the phone even, or in person. You can just simply do these little breathing exercises. I know they work for me tremendously to help to get you, I really feel honestly, back into your body.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, which brings us to another important point about the voice, which is your body is your instrument. Your voice is an instrument, as singers know, but your speaking voice is also an instrument, and it's produced by your body. It's controlled by muscles in our ear and brain. And it requires resonance in order to be really heard and understood. So resonance is another thing that's important for voice. And it's something I always work with my clients on finding. But we can play a little bit. Let's play a little bit with resonance right now, finding resonance. So just hum. Stand up again if you have sat down. So just hum, and again, put your fingertips on your larynx, and you should feel it vibrating. Doesn't matter what pitch you hum. It vibrates, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's the sound making it vibrate. And now put your fingertips on the back of your spine at your neck, back of your neck, on your spine, with your dinosaur tail and your balloons on. And hum again. You should feel your spine vibrating. That's resonance. Our bones vibrate. Our voice makes our own skeleton vibrate. And that vibration helps create resonance in the voice and helps with voice projection and with creating a comfortable voice, a voice that people enjoy listening to. That resonance is really helpful for that. So this is another tip that I generally give my clients, which is when you want to use your voice well, stand up. So if you're doing teleseminars or webinars, or you're on the phone coaching with people, or you're speaking to prospective clients on the phone, stand up. Speaking on the phone is public speaking. And when you stand up, you'll have better breath control, you'll have more resonance in your voice, and you'll automatically feel more confident.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I know that was something that I learned from you very early on, and it's something that's really true. And I believe, well, if you think about it, in most situations where business is being conducted, you know, if you're going into just a grocery store to purchase something, I mean, everyone is standing. So, you know, no one is sitting there ringing up your groceries, you know, kind of a thing. And I think we sometimes will forget because we're at home and it's comfortable and we're at our desk and we would feel that's what we would do. And I just remembered for myself, even listening to you just say that again, reminding me over these next few days to stand up and put more energy into my voice. So,
yeah,
these are good
tips. Because one of the things that can happen when we're sitting, especially if we're tired, is that our voice can start to go kind of flat. And that monotonous or boring kind of voice makes it very, very difficult for people to listen and remember anything that you say. And we've all had teachers who were like this in school, and they were the ones that we hated, and they'd been teaching for a gazillion years, and they sounded like they were just sick of it, and everybody went in their class, right?
Absolutely.
So that's another one of the ways that your voice can sabotage you. And sometimes we have a voice story. Remember, I talked a little bit about voice stories that can come from childhood. I was the quiet one. I was the good girl. I was the good boy. My father was the only one who was really allowed to speak at home. In my culture, we don't use much emotional expression in our voices. That kind of monotonous voice can be habitual, and we may not even realize that we don't have very much expression. And one thing to do about this is just ask people. And I know that that things around our voices can be very confronting, and it's very intimate because our voice is us in this very fundamental way, a very profound way. And so it can be very nerve-wracking to ask someone about your voice quality, especially if you've been judged for it as a child. So if you want to do this, do. If it's too difficult, then don't. But you can ask someone that you trust, someone that you feel really comfortable with, does my voice have enough expression? Do I really engage you when I talk with you? Or often, when you'll find that when you're in a one-on-one situation with a close friend or a family member, you can be very expressive. But then if you get into a group of people, you might start to really hold yourself back and think that you need to sound more professional or more serious. And so you take some of the expression out of your voice, and you're actually doing yourself no favors by doing that. The expression in our voice is critical for delivering our message. So this is another one of my ways that I tell people their voice can sabotage themselves. If your voice doesn't match your message, people will get very confused and won't understand. And here's a couple of examples. I'm so excited about going on this trip tomorrow. I can't wait. Did I sound excited?
No.
No. So that's an example of tone of voice didn't match the message. Now, here's another one. I love you. Hey, I love you. I love you. I love you. All different tones of voice, and they all conveyed something different, didn't they? If someone said to you, Rodney, I love you, do you believe that?
Absolutely. Well, no, because, I mean, it depends upon how they would say it. But if they said it in a way, and also, too, if they're in person in front of me, you can also have the facial cues to pick up on as well. But as you've pointed out in some of your trainings, is that if you're on the phone, your voice is all you have. You don't have the facial cues or the body expressions to rely upon to get your message across, which is why the voice is so much more needed to fully express, to be able to get across your message with people.
Exactly. And I have a corporate client that I'm working with who has this issue of needing to feel that he is being professional when he gets up in front of a group or even his team at work. And he deliberately took some of the expression out of his voice when giving presentations or when leading a group meeting and things like that. And he realized after we started working together that the way that he was speaking even though he thought he was being more professional, he was coming across as if he didn't really care about his subject, that he wasn't at all excited about what he was doing. And he is actually very passionate about his work. But by taking all of his expression out of his voice in order to sound more professional, he was doing the opposite. He was telling everyone that he didn't care about what he was doing.
So that's a powerful observation for him to realize as well. I mean, I'm sure for him that really transformed the way he is now being when he's doing his presentations.
Yeah, it really put, you know, the light bulb went off over his head when I talked about this. Your voice has to match your message. And there's a statistic out there that if your tone of voice does not match your message, people will pay 75% of their attention to your body language, about 20% to your gestures and your facial expression, and then 5% only to your content. So they're trying to figure out, what is this person really trying to say to me? So they're looking for cues, because the voice isn't giving them the right cues. So they're looking everywhere else for the cues. So the content is the last thing they're listening to.
Right. So you can imagine with those numbers that you've given, if you're over the phone, as we are today, or you're doing a webinar maybe with slides and they can't see you, you've removed the what is it, 80% or 90% there, or 95% really, that you those, you know, you removed that 95% that you would have to rely upon. So you can see how.
Yeah, so expression in the voice is really, really important, and we really do respond to it. And we enjoy hearing a really expressive voice. And everybody, just think about the people that you really love to listen to. Who are some of the people who you really enjoy hearing speak? And they usually have very expressive voices, don't they?
Absolutely.
If you think of someone who's very famous, like Martin Luther King Jr., what an incredible range of expression he had with his voice. And boy, did he know how to use it to build a speech up to a climax and get everybody completely excited and engaged and involved. And your voice can do that too. It's not just that he had that talent. Everybody has a beautiful voice. They just have to know how to use it.
Yeah. You know, I so agree. And the thing that made me think about so many things as you were sharing with us, Ariana, is that, to take this point a step further, is I believe that so many of us feel that the thing we do, or the product we sell, or the service we create, is the thing that people are ultimately buying. But in reality, they're really buying us.
Yes. Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about that, Ariana?
Yeah. This is something that is so important to understand, and it's important in terms of your voice quality to understand this too. And you may have heard this in other places. I've heard it a lot, that your clients are not looking for someone like you. They're looking for you. And if you're not expressing yourself completely authentically with your voice, how are they going to know that you're the person they're looking for? Really, think about that. Your voice is the thing that's going to connect with them the most, that's going to tell them, yes, this person is the person I'm looking for, or no, this isn't the person I'm looking for. So why wouldn't you want to be as authentic and expressive as possible with your voice so that you can actually captivate your ideal clients?
So true. It's very true. I mean, it's something that I think a lot of us honestly really, we just don't think about. You know, and I think, and I believe that's a lot of it has to do with conditioning, as the way that we are taught how to be in the world. And I know you've done some powerful work and continue to do powerful work around voice story. And the way that we, as you brought up, you know, as you mentioned or spoke about earlier in our conversation today, about how we were viewed in our family dynamics as children, obviously affects how we come across and sound and be in the world today. And voice story is a huge component of that piece. So in your work, you've been able to really help people pinpoint their stuck points and move through them.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard another voice story just the other day that was a new one to me, but boy, does this make sense. It was a woman who had spent her whole school career in Catholic schools, and I asked her to read out loud, and it brought up this huge amount of emotion because in elementary school, she went to a Catholic school, so the nuns were her teachers, and these were the sort of stereotypical, mean, strict nuns. And she had always tried to get up, say what she had to say as quickly as possible, and sit back down as soon as she could, because if she didn't do it right, she was going to get whacked with the ruler or the yardstick. So reading out loud was an almost traumatic thing for her. And this is a woman who's grown up, she's got adult children, she's an author, but yet she still had this old voice story that was incredibly powerful and just brought tears. So these stories are very insidious, I want to say, because they unconsciously govern all kinds of things in terms of how we express ourselves. And usually they involve holding back our self-expression. And I want to encourage you all to just think in your own lives, what is my voice story or stories? You can have more than one. But how were you allowed to voice yourself as a child? Were you allowed to be loud, or were you really discouraged from being loud? Were you the one who was the performer, or were you the quiet one who was the good child? Or did you have an abusive parent who you were really afraid of, and you were walking around on eggshells all the time not to make dad or mom mad or upset? And how are those voice stories still affecting you? And if you start to change the way that you speak, those stories start to lose their power. You don't even have to go through a whole process of going to a therapist and processing it through. When we change the way that we speak, we seem to be able to just kind of blow through those old stories. And when I work with clients in the Reclaim Your Authentic Voice program, we do a lot of reading out loud from kids' books because it's just fun. You don't have to worry about, is this sounding right? Is it coming out right? The words are pretty simple, so you're not deciphering long words. And we can just play and play with the voice. So this is another recommendation that I have for you. Play with your voice. Use lots of expression. And I really recommend kids' books like Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss is fabulous. And the different characters can have different voices. So play around with your voice. Let your voice go up. Let it go down. Let it be this kind of thing for one kind of character, or this kind of sound for another kind of character. Play around. Give yourself permission to use the full expressive capability of your voice, because you have so much more expressive capability than you normally use, unless you're an actor or you've been on stage or you've already done this kind of work. or you grew up in a family where expression was really encouraged, in which case, yahoo, you don't have to blow through that old voice story. But after you've given yourself a chance to play using kids' books, then play with your presentations. If you have something coming up, you're going to be giving a talk or you're on a book tour, then practice your presentations out loud and standing up and use lots of expression and pitch variation and let yourself play. Really exaggerate expression, record yourself, listen to the recording without the judgment that says, oh, my voice is so awful, I hate my, okay, no judgment. Just how much expression, how much pitch variation am I using? Can I do more? Was that too much? Play around. Give yourself permission. We want to connect with you. Be authentic. Don't be afraid to use emotion. Don't be afraid to be passionate and show people your true heart and passion for what you do. Because that's really going to inspire us and engage us.
You know, that I think that's the core of what you really have taught, and I know with me and I know with the people who are listening and other, you know, places, is that, that bringing in that element of play, it really does loosen you up, and I also believe helps you too with the breathing, although you did recommend and give us some great breathing exercises as well to do. But I think that combined, I know I've embraced being more on stage myself because of the work that we've done in that respect. And it does, I mean, it helps tremendously. You, I don't know, to me it seems to, like, the nervousness seems to go away after the first, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, once you start talking and you remember those exercises and you remember that, you just seem to, to be able just to transfer it into your interactions with people. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And when you're being really authentic and being really yourself, it's a whole lot easier to get up there because you're not trying to remember some artificial persona.
Right.
All you have to do is be yourself. And if you goof, you know what? You say, ah, shoot, I goofed. Let me do that again. Or let me say that, oh, poof, that was the wrong word. That makes us feel more comfortable with you, because if you goof and then you try and go right on and don't say anything, then we're sitting there thinking, did she realize that she goofed? Or did he understand that he used the wrong word there? So we get a little bit uncomfortable, but if you just acknowledge it and say, ah, oops, sorry,
right,
then we can relax.
Right, right. Our audiences are very forgiving, don't you agree? They want you to be good, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're being really authentic, people feel comfortable and people are for you. They're rooting for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, this work is so important. It made me think as, you know, we're moving through the next, you know, next 3 days of this masterclass program, is that the things that, you know, you're sharing with us right now can be used, obviously, on stage, obviously, in, you know, in person, in one-to-one conversations, and over the phone. But as I mentioned at the orientation call earlier today, you know, we're going to have a couple of sessions on Friday talking about video and expressing yourself on video. And mm-hmm. So this is really a powerful work to be able to start doing and mastering, because if you do decide to shine on camera, as Jules will be talking about on Friday, you want to be able to, you know, you're really going to have everything working for you, your facial expressions, but definitely your voice. And because you're on video, I think your voice is going to be even more important because you're not really physically there, but they're seeing you. What's your thoughts about that, Ariana?
Well, I actually have a number of people who come to me because they want to start doing videos and they really don't feel confident about their voice. And that has held them back from doing videos in the past. And they've been taught, they've been told, they've been coached, and everybody's saying now you got to have video. Everybody has to have video in their marketing. It's the thing. Everybody's got to have video. So these people come and they say, oh, God, I feel so... such a lack of confidence in my voice. I just, you know, I hate the sound of my voice on a recording. How can I do video? So we work, and they uncover their own authentic voice, and they start feeling confident, and then they have the confidence to go out and do those videos, and they do a fabulous job.
It's very powerful work. I mean, I can't emphasize this enough. It's just something that I feel that is so, this conversation is so not, it doesn't happen. No one really talks about it because, again, we all believe that our voice is our voice and there's nothing you can do about it. But as you've illustrated in this amount of, you know, amount of time, which unfortunately we're needing to end soon, but I just knew this was something that I had to bring to everyone because I wanted you all to really hear that there are simple and fun. I mean, this doesn't have to be painful or arduous.
Oh, yeah. No, when I work with people, that's the A number at the top of my, well, the top of my list is that nobody hurts their voice out of working with me. But number two is that it's fun. We have a lot of fun and we play because that way you really can free yourself up to actually fully express yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. And everyone listening, you know, this is just really a good taste, but this is, you know, Sim, you get nothing more than this right now that, you know, some simple breathing exercises, picking up some children's books, you know, reading those stories, using different character voices to express those stories, reviewing your presentations, and just having fun with how you sound will make you so much better in your sales and in your presentations and really help you to monetize your gifts, which is why we're all here the next three days.
And let me just add quickly in the context of voice injury, while you're playing with your voice, when you're doing new things with your voice may get tired, but it should not hurt. If it starts to hurt, you're doing something incorrectly and you need to call me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Ariana has graciously, you know, as I said at the top of the call with Barbara earlier, is that I've created a page on the Monetize Your Gifts website. And actually, there, if you're listening to the webcast or you're watching this over the internet on Instant Teleseminar, you should see a button there to the or link to the left saying bonuses. And you can click on that. That will take you to the page where all of the presenter bonuses are. Ariana has created a fabulous introductory program that is her gift to you called 6 Ways Your Voice is Sabotaging You and Your Business and 12 Ways to Fix It, to take this conversation further. So when you visit that page, you'll see Ariana's portrait there and a link there next to it to click visit her website, and then you can sign up to receive that, and she'll send out the first of that, a beautiful series, to you immediately. And she uses video, mind you. So it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift to take this conversation further. And she also offers complimentary strategy sessions if you find that you want to speak with her directly one-on-one and go even deeper with the work that she's so graciously shared with us today. So as we move on, we're at the last couple of minutes. Is there any last tips or nuggets that you want to share with us, Ariana, as we move forward into our journey?
There's one thing. This is something that's getting more and more common these days, and this is a way that your voice can sabotage you that a lot of us don't think about. But if you end every sentence as if it were a question, if the inflection at the end of your sentences always goes up, it sounds as if you're not really confident in what you're saying. It's kind of a personal thing for me. But if you say, I have a great program for you, I really want to work with you, I think I'm a great coach for you, I have a great product here. Really? If your inflection is going up all the time at the end of sentences, you're saying, I'm not confident in what I'm saying. I'm questioning my own abilities, my own product, my own coaching services. Please, when you're making a statement, have your inflection drop a little bit. Don't make it a question.
and with that said, and not so low that they can't hear what you're saying either.
That's right. Yeah, don't drop it down so low that you go into this gravelly place.
Which tends to be a problem with us guys, I think, more than women. We tend to think that as we're physically ending a sentence that the voice needs to go lower and lower to match the period that's coming at the end of
it does naturally go down to indicate the end of a sentence, but some of us have a habit of letting it go too far down.
Too far down.
And when it goes too far down and gets kind of gravelly, you get hard to understand, and it's hard on your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be speaking for a long period of time, watch that gravelly thing.
Very important. Very important. Well, Ariana, as always, it's been such a delight having you. You know, I enjoy your presentations. If you ever get a chance to see Ariana present on stage, give yourself that gift because she's amazing. Amazing presenter and really knows how to just bring it home. And you literally will witness transformations. I mean, she brings people up on stage and actually does on-the-spot work with you, and you literally see transformations happening right in front of you. So I just knew that this was the person that I wanted to have as a part of this program, and I knew that she would bring something to you that you've just not probably heard before. So I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you so much for including me, Rodney. You are one of my favorite people.
Likewise. Very much so likewise. So as I mentioned earlier with Barbara, all of the replays will be available starting tonight. Again, all the replays are available for purchase. You can purchase Ariana's replay if you'd like for $20 individually, or you can purchase the Masterclass Muse package, which is everything, for $94. And summary sheets will be coming a little bit later. It'll take me a little bit of time to sit down and to pull out the nuggets, which there were so many, but I want to pull out my own nuggets and provide that for you. So like a cheat sheet, but also an action plan. So I already can tell you now, based on what we've already discussed, I would say for your action plan for you listening is to go pick up a couple of Dr. Seuss books.
Yay, the Cat in the Hat.
The Cat in the Hat. And definitely sign up for Ariana's gift for the 6 Ways Your Voice is Sabotaging You and Your Business and 12 Ways to Fix It, and be ready to monetize your gifts and move forward. So with that being said, I want to thank Ariana again for being with us, and we are going to be coming back in about 10 minutes with Miguel Hernandez, where we are going to learn how to create an online course that sells. You do not want to miss that session, I promise you. So with that said, Ariana, thank you again.
Thank you.
And everyone have a wonderful day, and I'll see you in about 10 minutes. Take care.